Greetings, you're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 35-1944, Westminster, Colorado, 80035. Phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John 1 verse 42 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible states, Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C like in Charles, E like in Erna, P like in Paul, H as in Hunt, A as in Alpha, and S as in Sam. The reason I bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if listeners have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following: Matrix is something like a mold or a womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child but has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program will be about exposing the matrix, the something that is inside the matrix. The listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that is inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and, seemingly like a messiah, attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, intolerance, and climate change. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him, summarized.
When Jim and I went into East Berlin, we visited a museum there on communism, and there we found that one of their main displays in the history of communism was a display on the French Revolution as part of the origin of the communist movement in this world. In fact, the term communism comes from the French word commune, where this thing originated. In time, a man by the name of Lemny and then this man, Mazzini, became a leader in the world revolution, but not fully inducted into the secret orders. And he says, it says, research dug up letters from Mazzini which revealed how the high priests of the Luciferian Creed keep their identity and true purpose secret. In a letter Mazzini wrote to his revolutionary associate, Dr. Bridenstine, only a few years before he died, he said, "We form an association of brothers in all parts of the globe. We wish to break every yoke. Yet there is one unseen that can be hardly felt. Yet it weighs on us. Whence comes it? Where is it? No one knows. Or at least no one tells. This association is secret, even to us, the veterans of the secret society. Even to those involved in leading out in world revolutions, it was a secret society controlling them behind the scenes." This man took over after Mazzini. He was a commander in the Southern armies. After the war, he settled down to study in Arkansas. And from there, this man with a tremendous mind became one of the world's most renowned authorities on pagan idolatry. He became the leader of the Illuminati in time. This that I'm about to read is a letter to the Palladian Council, written July 14, 1889, from Albert Pike. He, like Weishaupt, was the head of the Luciferian conspiracy in his day. Pawns in the Game by Guy Carr. And here is the letter. "That which we say to the crowd is we worship God, but it is a God that one worships without superstition. The religion should be, by all us initiates of the high degree, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. Yes, Lucifer is God. And unfortunately, Adonai, the name they give the Christians, is God also, for the absolute can exist only as two gods. Though, so they're saying that Jesus, or God, is both good and evil. And the good part of it, they're saying, is Lucifer, and the evil is Jesus Christ. Thus, the doctrine of Satanism is a heresy. They don't believe in Satan. They believe that Jesus is evil, not Satan. And the true and pure philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Christ, or Adonai. But Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil." Albert Pike. Isn't that amazing what these people believe? They're worshippers of Lucifer. And friends, this is their plan. "We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists," or the Nazis, he says here. Those who are working in favor of the Christian world. The atheists who are working against it. "And we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clear to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, finally out in public view, a manifestation which will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time." They want another war, folks. It was Albert Pike who laid out the plan for three world wars. One, to open up Palestine. Two, to form a state in Palestine between the second and third, to raise the Arab world and the world of Israel. And once they were armed and ready, and the world was siding on one side or another, they would form an international war. And that war is on our horizon today. Ellen White told us in Evangelism, page 623, "A power from beneath is working to bring about the last great scenes in the drama. Satan coming as Christ and working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and those who are binding themselves together in secret societies. Those who are yielding to the passion for confederacy are working out the plans of the enemy. The cause will be followed by the effect. For 100 years, we may have had the privilege of knowing what was going on in those secret societies through inspiration. An example of the kind of mind that exists in this spawn of the Jesuit order can be seen in this man, Aleister Crowley, who was a 33rd degree Mason, Aleister Crowley, 33rd degrees. Aleister Crowley was also a member of the Kabbalistic organization of the Golden Dawn in London. And here is his law. Do what thou will shall be the whole of the law. Every man and every woman is a star. Man has a right to live by his own law. Man has a right to eat what he will, drink what he will, dwell where he will, move where he will. Man has a right to think what he will, speak and write whatever he will, and make what he will. Man has a right to love as he will. Take your fill and will of love, where and when you will. Man has a right to kill those who would thwart these rights. The slave shall serve. Do you like that law? It sure appeals to the carnal heart. And this law is spreading among the masses of the world today. It's the mind of Satan, folks. Secret societies and subversive movements by Nesta Webster tells us that this conspiracy took place among the Jews. And I'm sure that much of it has taken place in the Sanhedrin circles. But the fiery Jesuits describes clearly that the control of the money in this world is in the hands of the Roman Catholic Church today, and especially in the hands of the Jesuits. They're the ones that claim to become the Jew among the Jews. They're leading out in the Zionist conspiracy. It was their interests that fomented the writing of the Communist Manifesto. It was their interests that financed this man to go in, Lenin, to go in and cause the revolution. The church was hoping to conquer the Eastern Orthodox Church. This revolution has not stopped. The communists may have left her in that revolution and took it for themselves, but the war continues today. January 4, 1862, Ellen White tells us, I was shown before Lincoln's administration, the former administration planned and managed for the South to rob the North of implements of war. They were contemplating a determined rebellion or revolution. The North did not understand the bitter, dreadful hatred of the South towards them and were unprepared for the deep-laid plots. Volume 1 of the Testimonies, 253. What was behind these deep-laid plots? In the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Father Chiniqui, he tells us that he had hired Lincoln to be his lawyer to protect him against a suit from the church. Lincoln was faithful, and the man was gotten off. And this is a signature on the letter of the IOU found in the book of Lincoln. Listen to the words here. Dear Mr. Lincoln, I answered, allow me to tell you that the joy I should naturally feel for such a victory is destroyed in my mind by the fear of what it may cost you. There were then in the crowd not less than 10 or 12 Jesuits from Chicago and St. Louis who came to hear my sins of condemnation to the penitentiary, but it was on their heads that you have brought the thunders of heaven and earth. Nothing can be compared to the expression of their rage against you when you not only wrenched me from their cruel hands, but you were making the walls of the courthouse tremble under the awful, superhumanly eloquent denunciation of their infamy, diabolical malice, and total want of Christian human principle in the plot they had formed for my destruction. What troubles my soul just now and draws tears to my eyes is that it seems to me that I have read your sentence of death in their fiendish eyes. How many other noble victims have already fallen at their feet? Lincoln said, he looked at his watch after a talk with Father Chiniqui in his office in the White House, I am sorry that the 20 minutes I had consecrated our interview has almost passed away. I will be forever grateful for the warning words you have addressed to me about the dangers ahead to my life from Rome. I know that they are not imaginary dangers. If I were fighting against a Protestant South as a nation, there would be no danger of assassination. The nations who read the Bible fight bravely on the battlefields, but they do not assassinate their enemies. The Pope and the Jesuit, with their infernal Inquisition, are the only organized powers in the world which have recourse to the dagger of the assassin to murder those whom they cannot convince with their arguments or conquer with their sword. Unfortunately, I feel more and more every day that it is not against Americans of the South alone I am fighting. It is more against the Pope of Rome, his perfidious Jesuits and their blind and bloodthirsty slaves, than against the real American Protestants.